I'm sure you've been following in the news that Governor Brad Little has announced a plan for reopening our state, and part of that plan is reopening houses of worship. And right now the watchword for us is just we're taking it a day at a time, and we're going to have to be flexible. As you know, part of that decision for us will hinge on when the Kleiner Center, where we normally hold our worship, when the Kleiner Center makes a decision to open, and then just exactly what will be the requirements of sanitation and social distancing and set up. Count on for the foreseeable future, we're going to be continuing to live stream. Even when we get back in Kleiner, we're going to continue to live stream the worship just like this. And I can definitely tell you we will not be back in the Kleiner Center this coming Sunday, May 3rd. But we will be, our elders will be discussing this and making decisions about going forward together. So pray for our elders as they'll be making a decision about how we can begin to come back together as a community, as a worshiping community. Right now, I want to read to you this morning's scripture text. We are in this, today is the third Sunday of Easter, and I've been following the common lectionary, and that brings us today to Luke 24, and the story of two disciples who met the risen Jesus while walking the road from Jerusalem to the little village of Emmaus. And in Luke's account of Resurrection Day, this is right after the women have gone to the tomb in the morning, found it empty, come back and made the report to the men, but Luke says the men did not believe them. This seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe it, that the women had found the tomb empty, and an angel had said to them, "He's not here, he is risen." Peter went to the tomb and looked in and found it empty and marveled, but didn't know what to make of it. And then Luke picks up the narrative, where I'm going to start reading where Luke picks up the narrative as two disciples are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Hear now the word of God. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, your word is truth. Send your Holy Spirit now and write your word within us so that we will be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. So on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, Cleopas and another disciple whose name we don't know are making their way to the village of Emmaus. And by the way, we don't know exactly where Emmaus was. We do know that the text says it was 60, the Greek text says it was 60 stadia from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I have no idea what a stadia is, but people who are much smarter than me say that it's about 7 miles. We also know that these two disciples do not know that Christ is risen. They think he's dead, and that's why they're making their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So in a way, it doesn't really make any difference exactly where Emmaus is. Think of Emmaus as the place you go when your dreams have been crushed, when your plan for your life is in ruins, and you're grieving, and you're not really sure what to do next. It might be the way home. It might be the way to the next job. It might just be the place where you wait, not knowing what comes next. But it's about 7 miles from wherever it was that your heart was broken. These two are lost in grief as they're walking along, and Luke tells us that they're talking about what had happened. Isn't that what we do when we grieve? We talk about what happened. We share our stories about what happened. We talk about the person that we've lost. Suddenly a stranger came alongside them and walked with them. And Luke tells us that they didn't recognize this stranger. And in fact, he tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But isn't it also true that one of the really strange things about the risen Jesus is that nobody recognizes him at first? Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener of the cemetery. Peter thought that he was a guy standing on the shore talking about fish. And here Cleopas thinks he's just a stranger on the road. Right down to this day, it's easy to miss Jesus when he shows up. Now, I don't mean that he's going to show up physically. That was just for those days and for those original witnesses. The time between when Jesus rose from the dead and when he ascended into heaven. And ever since his ascension, we don't get physical appearances of Jesus. But he shows up all the time. And it's still true that most of the time we don't recognize him. He'll show up in your failure. And he'll be right there. But the problem is we get so focused on our failure that we don't have eyes to see him. He'll show up in your disappointment. But we get focused on that and our hearts get directed toward our disappointment. He'll show up in your grief. In fact, I've known a lot of people who met Jesus for the first time in their grief, but they didn't recognize him at first. Well, as these two disciples are on the way to Emmaus, Jesus asked them, "What is this conversation that you're holding as you walk along?" And you can almost hear the exasperation in Cleopas in his voice when he said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who hasn't heard the things that have gone on in these days?" And isn't it true that when we're grieving, one of the things that hurts is that other people just seem to move right on and don't even know that we're hurting. But I think it's also wonderful. I don't think Jesus is playing games with them. He wants to hear them talk about it. He says, "Tell me about it. Tell me what happened." And then he listens. Jesus still wants to hear you talk about it. That's what prayer is. When you're hurting, when you're disappointed, when you're grieving, or when you're happy, when you're exulting, Jesus wants to hear you talk about it. That's what prayer is. Jesus said to them, "What things?" They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and the other religious authorities delivered him up to be crucified. But we had hoped," and here they're getting to their grief, "we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." They had hoped he would be Israel's Messiah. When they say redeem Israel, they mean set Israel free. We had hoped he would be the one who would drive out the Romans, who would restore the glory and the independence of Israel, who would restore Israel to right relationship with God so that God's blessing would return, the glory of God would return. We had hoped. Now, you don't have to live very long in this world to have disappointed hopes. And it's also true you don't need to follow Jesus very long. If you have followed Jesus long, there will be times you'll have disappointed hopes and perhaps even disappointed hopes in Jesus. That there was a dream that you had, there was a future that you envisioned for yourself, for your family, for your marriage. And it was your fervent prayer that Jesus was going to make that dream and that vision come true, and he didn't. Jesus won't follow our script. He never has, and he never will. One of the unsettling things about Jesus is that he doesn't ride in like the cavalry in the nick of time to save the day according to our plans. He's working according to his plan. And at the heart of his plan for the redemption of the world is a cross where he will go to lay down his life and then an empty tomb. And he said that his work in our lives will be cross-shaped. He said, "Do you want to follow me? Take up your cross. Die to yourself. Die to your plans and ambitions and visions and dreams, and follow me and find real life." So Jesus asked Cleopas and the other disciple. By the way, it's often speculated, perhaps the other disciple that doesn't get named here is a woman. Perhaps it's Cleopas and his wife walking along the road. We don't know. But after Jesus asks them, tell me about it, and they do, Jesus then proceeded to give them what must have been the greatest Bible lesson in all of history. And wouldn't you have loved to have been there to hear it? Luke says that he opened up the scriptures to them, Moses and the prophets. That means all of Hebrew scripture. And he showed them that the scripture never promised that the Christ, the Messiah, would fulfill their dreams. What the prophets promised was that Christ would be humiliated, that he would be rejected, that he would suffer, that he would lay down his life. Think of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrow. He was wounded for our sins. On him was placed the punishment that was due to us, the punishment that brings us peace. And Isaiah said, by his stripes, in other words, the wounds of the lash, by his stripes, we are healed. That's what the prophets promised. Later on, these two disciples would say, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road, when he opened to us the scriptures? Brothers and sisters, one of the signs that you love God, one of the signs of authentic conversion is that when you hear the scriptures, your heart will burn with joy. It will speak directly into your heart and into your life. A number of years ago now, I got an email from a young man. Well, he's not so young anymore. He's moving into middle age. He's a husband. He's a father. He has teenage kids. He was in my youth group when I was an intern working at a church over 30 years ago. He came from a troubled family. He came from a family that was indifferent to the gospel, that was indifferent to church. Anyway, he sought me out, and in this email, he said, thank you for telling me about Jesus. I'm still walking with him. Today, he's a youth pastor. He's married to a wonderful Christian woman, as I told you. Jesus transformed his life. As I read that email, my heart burned within me. Jesus is so faithful and so good. This young man, this old friend, his story was reshaped and transformed by the greater story of Jesus Christ and his saving work, his death on the cross and his resurrection. So how do you and I meet him? Well, I believe that Luke tells us this story of the road to Emmaus. He tells us this story for two reasons. Number one, it happened. It's true. Jesus physically appeared to his disciples in a variety of different ways. This was one of them. Secondly, Luke wants us to know something about Jesus, that whether you know it or not, he's right beside you right now. And he'll come alongside in the most surprising and unexpected moments. You may be disappointed and grieving. You may be fearful right now. You may be wondering what the future holds. You might even, like these two disciples, think that Jesus has failed you, that he's let you down. But he's right beside you. And if you'll open your eyes to see him and open your heart to receive him, He'll transform your whole journey. Well, the three travelers reached Emmaus late in the day. They still don't know who this stranger is. So the two disciples invited the stranger to stay with them. Luke says they urged him strongly. They said, "Stay with us." They took him in. That's important. It doesn't matter how impressed you are with Jesus. You might think he's a wonderful, wise teacher. You might think he's a great man. You might even suspect that he's alive. But until you invite him in to your life, you won't see him and you won't experience who he really is. These two disciples took Jesus in and they gathered around a table. And there Luke tells us Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he vanished from their sight. Now that seems really strange, doesn't it? Why should Jesus, as soon as they recognize him, poof, he vanishes from their sight? But remember that Jesus said that there's a blessing going to come to us by his physical absence. He actually told his disciples, "I'm going away, and it's good for you that I go away, because when I go away, my Father will send the Holy Spirit." And by sending the Holy Spirit, that means that you and I can experience the risen Jesus right now, exactly where we are. Imagine that Jesus was still here physically on the earth, present with us, physical body on the earth. And you decide to go to the Holy Land and see him face to face. How many years are you going to wait in that line? Jesus said he was going to give us a better gift. When he ascended, his Father sent the Holy Spirit. And right now, right where you are, Jesus is beside you in a way even more, in a way more vivid and more real and more powerful than simply seeing his physical presence. Spiritual growth as a Christian is a matter of learning to see Jesus in your life and learning to see Jesus in the world around you. Once again, I don't mean physically. You're not going to see a physical presence. But think of what Paul meant, what the Apostle Paul meant in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." By faith, we see Jesus. We know that he's in our lives. Because we see him, as we learn to see him, we can introduce others to him and help others to see him. And this is why we can be filled with hope in every circumstance, because we know Jesus is present. COVID-19. No problem for Jesus. Jesus is present. He's right there in the hospitals with the doctors and the nurses and all the other healing professionals. He's right there at those bedsides. He's alive and at work. Right now, our church can't meet together. And I yearn for the day, I pray for the day that we can. But dear friend, Jesus is beside you in your home right now in this moment. Do you see him? Do you hear him? There is no road that we can walk, no matter how painful, no matter how hard the way, where he is not present on the journey. And because he's with us, the destination is never in doubt. Dear friends, the destination is going to end. The journey is going to end at home with him at table, and we will see him face to face. Well, this text ends with a great turnaround. Those disciples who had been walking away from Jerusalem, they were walking away from the place of their heartbreak and disappointment. There's a great turnaround. After they recognized the risen Jesus and he disappeared from their view, they immediately got back on the road. It must have been late in the day, but they immediately got back on the road. And how much you want to bet walking back to Jerusalem took about half the time of what the journey had taken going the other way. Jesus often does this. When you meet him and learn to see him, he'll often send you right back into the place of your disappointment. And this time, to be his servant, to be his agent. He'll send you with a new mission and a new purpose. In those two disciples, when they got back to Jerusalem, they swapped stories with the other disciples. We've seen him. You've seen him too? Here's how we saw him. And a new community of hope was born. Where will they go next? They don't know. What will happen next? They don't know that either. But they're filled with hope because hope is not found in knowing what's coming next. Hope is found in knowing Jesus Christ, who is with us and who's leading us. How long will the COVID-19 crisis go on? We have no idea. Will any of us get sick? Maybe. When will we be together again as a church? We have no idea. But that's not where hope is found, brothers and sisters. Hope is found in knowing and seeing and trusting Jesus Christ, who is with us and who is leading us into his good future. Amen. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Luke's account of this wonderful moment when the risen Jesus came alongside two heartbroken disciples on the road to Emmaus. And when they got to that house in the village, Jesus took the bread in his broken hands, his wounded hands, and he broke the bread, and they recognized him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're with us, and just as real as you were with those disciples on that road so long ago. Give us eyes to see you. Give us hearts to welcome you in. May we see what you're doing and join in your good work. Refresh our hope. We pray it in your strong and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.